Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and we are live at the AKC National Championship Dog Show presented by Royal Canin. And I have a wonderful guest. One of the great things about the dog show here in Orlando is that they have FSS and miscellaneous. They have open shows for some of the breeds that are new and they're coming up in the American Kennel Club and working on getting recognition in the American Kennel Club. And Marilyn Vinson is a Bracco Italiano breeder, owner, exhibitor. And she is going to join us and talk to us about this very, very cool breed, very old breed, right?
Yes. 2,500 years.
Wow. That is so amazing. And I show a lot of Spinoni Italiano and people conflate them. And I don't know that they're really conflatable, are they?
People try because they're both from Italy.
Right.
And there are similarities.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, if you shave down a Spinoni and you have a naked Bracco next to it, the Bracco is a dog of angles,
mm-hmm.
where the Spinoni is a dog of curves.
Of moderation, yes.
You look at the top of a Spinoni head and it's
mm-hmm.
round.
Mm-hmm.
A Bracco is oval.
Mm-hmm.
There's nuances along mm-hmm. that line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. And so 2,500 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they were always bird dogs? I mean, they have kind of a hound dog look.
They have a hound dog.
But they are a pointing breed.
They're a pointer hunter retriever over
right,
there. They're
right,
a versatile hunting
right,
dog.
Versatile hunting dog.
They use them for fox and for hare. I won't say rabbit because these are much bigger than a rabbit. These
right.
are a hare. But they're brilliant bird dogs. And they feel that most of the hounds and most of the pointers come down from the Bracco.
Really?
Which goes back to a Spanish Mastiff, and I can't remember the other breed right off the hand.
Now interesting.
Yes.
The Bracco predates everything.
Yes, pretty much.
Huh.
And they've almost died out with each world war. Of course, breeding right. dogs was not a priority.
Right.
So they had to bring the breed back, and there were two types. There was a Lombardy and a Piedmont. One was a lowland hunter, and they're heavier, more bone, more substance, shorter-legged dog. And then the Piedmont was the upland, which are longer-legged, more agile.
And is that more of what we're seeing in the U.S.? The description fits more what I've seen here.
Well, what we've done, the Italians did it, basically, is they realized that this is one breed, that different areas it's adapted to the conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So they made it one breed, and our standard, when we come in miscellaneous, is going to read that we can be anywhere from 21 inches to 27 inches tall.
Wow. Wow. That's like a huge range.
It's gigantic when you look in the ring.
Right.
And the bitches, of course, can be smaller than the males. You want the males to be 24, I think 23 to 27, and the bitches to 21 to 24.
Interesting. And so is it something that the breed is working to kind of bring those together and converge and make them more?
I think it will be eventually, but at this point, with a new breed in the country, there's so many other things that we need to
right.
establish, get judges right. used to.
Right.
They have made it a DQ on the height, so the breed is going to have to learn how to wicket.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And so, listeners, you'll remember we visited with Chris and Tom Levy about Pumis
mm-hmm.
and the process of coming in to AKC, but
right.
this is, you're starting as an FSS breed, and just this year or just last year in FSS?
No, actually the first dog registered with FSS was in 2001.
Oh my gosh, so you guys have been doing this a long time.
And they didn't really do anything till 2007. And they decided to form a new club, or a
mm-hmm.
club. A young lady named Amanda, and she was just a teenager mm-hmm. at the time, with help from the Caspers in Kansas, did the bylaws and got the club formed up. But like a lot of people in hunting breeds, they were very much afraid of AKC.
Well, and I know the Spinonis went through this. I know Border Collies. I know a lot.
They all do.
So speak to this for some of our listeners who don't understand, those of us who have working and performance dogs. Speak to that, that concept.
The priority for the Bracco is that they are a dual dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to a gentleman when I first got our Bronco 9 years ago. And he said that he doesn't breed to the standard because he's a hunter, not show dogs. And I tried to explain that the standard is a description of the dog who's best able to hunt all day. And I said, I don't care how well your dog hunts. If it doesn't look like a Bronco, I don't want it. And I don't care how pretty my Bronco is. If it can't hunt, you're not going to want it.
Right.
We want a dog that can do both.
Right.
The clubs took it out of its bylaws at one point to seek full AKC recognition. So we did form a second club.
Wow.
Which is frowned upon. Mm-hmm. But our feeling was it was a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. If we got to be the parent club, great, we're AKC. But if we lit a fire under the other club,
right,
and they got to be AKC, we're still AKC.
Right.
I spoke with Mary Beth O'Neill, I think it was in March, and said, what else do we need to do to move forward? And she said, bring me one club. Hmm. So I went back to the new club. I've stayed a member of both and said, it's time we step aside so mm-hmm. the breed can progress. Mm-hmm. All we're doing is holding it back at this point.
Okay. Okay.
So we've dissolved that club. Most of us are still members, never gave up our membership
of
in the other club.
Of the original club.
Okay. And we'll be having a national specialty in June, which now we're all supporting.
Right, and I have seen the Broncos at least 1 year with the Spinoni National.
For 5 years, we've been doing a national specialty
right.
with the Spinoni.
Right.
They have been incredibly gracious, putting
right.
their arm around and helping, because there's probably three of us in the club that have any extensive experience with AKC and the way the shows run.
Right.
And these are all good people, smart people, but these are all things you learn as you go.
Yeah, it is not an easy process.
No. But I think now that there's one club, hopefully things will work better. We gave a first regional specialty with the clubs in Arizona in
okay.
November.
Okay.
And I mean,
very nice.
It's not accredited yet.
Right.
But
you
it's
have
good
to,
practice.
You have to go through that process.
I yeah.
mean, just like any club, you have to put on matches. You have to learn
right.
the whole
and
process.
We do hunt the dogs.
Right. And
we
so
have,
I assume they would come in under the pointing breeds hunt test.
Yes.
For yeah. AKC.
Yes.
I know they're very popular in NAVDA.
Yes.
For listeners who are unfamiliar, that's the North American Versatile Hunting Dog Association, which was actually founded by Wirehair Pointer Guys.
Exactly.
Didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I did.
But a Winter Help and crew back in the late 60s for testing and registry designed for dogs who are the continental versatile
right.
hunting dogs, what they call in Europe the hunt point retrieve, the HPR
yeah.
dogs.
Yeah. And that's what the Bronco is mm-hmm. over there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a very well-known hunt trainer in Arizona, and the mm-hmm. first time he saw the Bronco show up, he said, you're not going to hunt with that hound. And we had a trainer, and mm-hmm. that hound had never been in junior or senior hunter. He worked in master, and he got his 6 required legs and 7 tries.
Oh, my goodness.
He's now the only master hunter advanced that
oh,
we have in
wow.
the breed.
And so in FSS, they are allowed to compete in performance events.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I had no idea.
We
that's
have
very
a,
cool.
a dog here that's an agility champion.
Very cool.
And it's fun to watch those years fly when they
oh my gosh,
the
right?
jumps and stuff.
And I think it's actually quite fitting that we're having this interview here at the National Championship Show, because it was 2009 that the Bronco Italiano won the international.
Axel.
Right? That was 2009?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yes. Won the international part
oh,
of this
gorgeous
dog.
To watch that
unbelievable
dog move.
I'm standing downstairs and I just was floored, just was
well, that,
flabbergasted.
That trot that you saw
yes.
is what the breed is known for,
and that extended trot, any of you who were there, any of you who watched that dog, we all had goosebumps.
Still
yes,
do.
Still do. Just thinking about that elasticity,
it's totally
of that trot.
Effortless. I don't get in the ring much anymore because after 3 steps, I turn into a land anchor and the dogs are cue coming. But when I could run with them, it's like a hot knife through butter. You don't even know you have a dog on the end of the leash. It is so smooth.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. And that trot, that locomotion allows them to do their job effectively.
All day long.
Right, because there's no wasted energy.
What we found in the hunt test, they're not going to compete every time against another Bronco. Mm. So Italy allows them to gallop till they get a scent. Then they're supposed to settle into a trot.
Interesting.
But here, if they gallop and they get a scent and then they go into trot, the little Brittany or the German mm-hmm. short hair is going to say, oh, I'll go get it. You wait here.
Right.
So they tend to move out a little more. When they run a leg or two and they've gotten some of the steam out, then they'll trot more. You see more of the trot when they're bringing the retriever back to you.
Right. It lowers their head a little bit.
Yeah. But they just, it's beautiful to watch.
Interesting.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
So, one of the things that we love here at Pure Dog Talk is your voice. You can leave us a review on iTunes or on the Pure Dog Talk Facebook page. Each episode, I'm going to be sharing one of these reviews on air in the Listener's Voice segment. What a fun way to share the love and show your support for the voice of purebred dogs. Today's Listener's Voice segment is from Going for a Spin last fall, titled Learning and Relearning. Also, 5 stars. These podcasts have information that I may have stored somewhere, but the succinct, timely, and well-detailed reminders are welcome. And I'm learning so much new information to be a better owner, handler, and trainer. Well, thanks, Spin. We appreciate it, and we're really glad you could join us.
When they are covering that kind of ground at the trot, are they still covering as much ground as another dog that's galloping? Is it that much?
Yeah, it's a huge trot.
Yeah.
They, 10, 12 feet stride.
I mean, curiosity.
Yeah.
You've been out in the field with them. So
if you put them in a trot with a German short hair going full bore or whining, no, they'll get left in the dirt.
Okay.
But let them go out and match them point for point and get out there, get their birds and bring it back. And you'll see that trot coming back, especially. They're happy. They're proud. The head is up. They're thrilled.
Yeah. Well, we teach show dogs how to gait with something in their mouth for a reason.
Yes.
Annie Clark, that was her thing.
Keeps that head up.
Yep, exactly. Ann Rogers Clark always, that was one of her biggest teaching things that I ever read. It was fabulous.
What a neat lady she was. Miss her.
Yeah. I was thinking today how much we miss a lot of the people in our sport. You know?
Some of the knowledge.
This is why we have Pure Dog Talk. Because
we're trying. A lot of people out there.
We're trying very hard to preserve some of that knowledge.
So. Well, the breed, I came in originally showing dogs with Shar-Pei. Before they became AKC. So I've been through the miscellaneous and all this. Shar-Pei were different in that we had to clean up the temperaments.
Yeah, they were sketchy.
Well, so many of the Bronco people are worried that we'll end up like a Labrador. You have a field lab and a show lab. Right. And I said, that's up to us. We breed the dogs. Yeah. We educate the judges. They can only pick by what
breeders.
We bring to them.
That's right.
So it all starts with us and it starts with education on all levels.
And I think that is so important for people, listeners, that is so important to understand. Judges can only judge what we bring them. And if we start to see divisions in our performance dogs, we need to pay attention to that.
Exactly.
Because that's on us, not on the judges.
No. And last month in Arizona, we had a hunt test one weekend. The following weekend, we had 4 days of open shows and especially.
Nice.
And the next weekend, hunt test. And all the same dogs were in all of it.
Right.
And they all got points, won something in both. That's what our goal is.
Yeah. That should be the goal for all of our sporting dogs, in my opinion.
With Shar-Pei, we had health issues we had to overcome. Temperament mainly. AKC was the best thing that ever happened to Shar-Pei in that we had to all look somewhat alike. We had to smell good. Not come in with bad skin.
Yes.
Not bite the judges.
Yes.
Had to stand close to each other in the ring.
Yes.
So it inspired more people to, I mean, you'll still find some of those old types Shar-Pei around. Sell them in flea markets. But among the breeders, we've really cleaned up the act. The Bronco doesn't have that. The temperament, they're pussy.
Wonderful babies. Sweet dog.
And great heating pads at night. Aww. They like being in bed with you.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if you've ever seen the little toys they used to make with rubber bands in them that you push the bottom and they flop.
Yeah.
That's a Bronco.
Oh, my God.
They lay down and you never know what's going where and they stay in that position.
Gumby. Yeah. They're Gumby dogs.
Exactly.
They are so cute.
Exactly.
I mean, I've seen them, you know, at Spinoni Nationals, actually, is where I've seen most of them. And that one from the AKC Invitational.
It's a fun breed. It likes to play. It needs a job. But we have Bronco that don't hunt. We have a search and rescue qualified dog and does cadaver work as well.
Wow.
Minor therapy dogs. We have, I believe, one that's now doing police work.
Wow.
Smelling. Narcotics.
Yeah, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So they're a very versatile dog beyond the hunting versatility.
Right. So the other thing I was going to kind of go a couple points health-wise.
Allergies.
That it?
Skin allergies, ear infections because of the long ears. Mm. The main thing we're fighting right now is kidney failure in the breed. And they've discovered amyloidosis, which is one that gets sharp hay. How I picked two breeds, I don't know.
Just lucky.
But both breeds have wrinkles in the skin and are ancient breeds that almost died out. So I don't know if it's because the gene pool is smaller. I mean, sharp hay go back to in the late 70s.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Okay. And so we talked about living with them. We talked about their... pretty amicable. They're pretty easygoing.
They are. They're energetic. They like to chew remote controls. they like to counter surf. We bought the slap traps.
Oh,
it's a mouse trap.
Right.
We've got slap traps all over the kitchen, which really looks appealing when people come visit. But at least their meal is intact.
But they are so helpful.
Oh, and they're so silent about it.
Oh, are they naughty dogs?
But they're... Basically, overall, there are dogs, some with more health issues than others, but most of the issues seem to come from allergies to one extent or another.
Okay, interesting. And then longevity?
Seems that most of them live somewhere between 10 and 12.
So pretty
some
normal.
Some are longer, yeah.
Pretty normal.
Exactly.
Yep, okay.
And especially for a large dog, they tend to bloat.
Right.
They can bloat
okay,
easily.
Okay, so I was going to ask you, it's another...
Yeah, it's another giant breed type thing.
Right. And so how are they, for people who want to purchase one, want to have one, how hard or easy are they to locate?
You can find them.
Mm-hmm.
The Bronco Club of America has a breeder site.
And we'll make sure there's a link.
Okay. And then there's also, of course, AKC. I don't know if they have any Bronco listed yet or not. Mm-hmm. And just searching for the breed online. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it all depends on who you talk to. Some people ask immediately, do you hunt? And if you say no... they almost hang up on you. They got to get over this.
Right.
The dogs are too good not to share.
Right. Well.
And, you know, they hunt what? The one lady was turned down for not hunting that has a search and rescue. Well, it hunts.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wire hair pointers run into some of the same type of bias, if you will. And I think what's really important for me is, does the dog have a job of some kind?
Exactly.
And I think that many of our continental versatile hunting dogs are dogs like that. They have a mind. They want to use it.
Well, and some, like our boy, he just turned 9 in October, and he's the one who's the master hunter advanced. Mm. But my husband had cancer, and the dogs are, totally focused on him. Mm. When they go out in the field now, if John can run ahead and point, Max will go point. Mm. Otherwise, he keeps his eyes on John constantly.
Wow.
That kind of bond is just...
Right. Part of who they are.
Uh-huh.
Very cool. Very, very, very cool. All right. Well, thank you so very much. I really appreciate your time.
Very welcome. Ask them to please check with the club website.
Yep.
It's under reconstruction, so there will be more and more information as it comes.
Good.
It's a delightful breed. I haven't found any that don't like kids.
Nice.
I'm sure there are some who don't. But they're not as hard temperament as some of the hunting dogs. They're more like a Spinoning.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I think temperament-wise, they remind me very similar of Spinoni.
They're sweet dogs.
Right.
They don't have a wet beard. They just drool.
I don't know, man.
They all have wet ears.
Exactly. Oh, my God. All right. Well, thank you, Marilyn, so much. I appreciate your
time. Thank you.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.